The difficulty of registering political dissent has been part of our conversation this week. Yesterday, it was increasingly repressive Egypt. Today, we go to Russia and Chechnya, where reports of brutal torture and killing in Chechnya have increased. The target, gay men. Officials have maintained this is untrue and that homosexuality, quote, doesn't exist in Chechnya, an indication of the level of intolerance of the LGBT community. Olga Sadovskaya is deputy chair of the Committee Against Torture, a human rights organization providing psychological and legal assistance to torture victims in Russia. And Olga is part of a SWAT team of lawyers, actually, that sends three different lawyers to different regions of Chechnya every month to investigate and document human rights abuses and to keep the authorities guessing.
So we show to the authorities that we have a lot of faces, hundreds of faces who are investigating the crimes. And there is not only one people who can be arrested or killed to stop this activity, because you can't kill 100 people. It's always a question of the price you pay, because even if you kill human rights defender, it becomes expensive from the perspective of your image on the international and national arena. So it's much more expensive to you to kill 100 human rights defenders than to kill one.
Safety in numbers, an intelligence strategy, but lots more work to be done.
We have decrease in respect for human rights. We have a lot of new restricting laws that forbid peaceful public movements, that forbids demonstrations, that puts ban on foreign funding for human rights NGOs and for social NGOs. So we're witnessing the shrinking space for human society, for civil society, for human rights.
Why do people tolerate that shrinking of concern for human rights? Is it because they're scared? Is it because they're...
I think it's because the governments actually scare people, because the governments try to explain that the more respect for human rights people have, the more problematic it becomes in regarding the security of the state. They put the controversy between the human rights and the state security. If you want your state to be secure, you have to betray a little bit human rights.
Which is exactly what the U.S. was told after 9/11. We've got to be tough.
Absolutely.
We've got to waterboard what was talked about during the campaign. We've got to embrace torture.
But it doesn't work that way. Torture is mainly justified by this type of explanation. There is a simple question that people are asked: if you know that this person is a terrorist, if you know that he has put a bomb somewhere, can we torture his terrorist to find out where the bomb is or what he's going to do the next as his terrorist attacked? And the majority of people tend to answer yes, you can torture him to find a solution to the situation, to prevent damage, to prevent deaths. So these things happen. But as we see, it's not effective.
Who's getting that message? Who's formulating that message best? And how is it working in Russia?
Well, in Russia, there is a very big problem with the independent source of information. The internet is still more or less independent, but when it comes to TV, to radio, we don't have really independent media in the country. So you have to approach people somehow. Human rights defenders are not the most effective people to work with the media because we don't have skills for that, but we try to cooperate with the commercials, with the independent media from other countries. We have to speak to people. We have to talk to people as much as you can. Everybody should.
You have been doing this a long time. I sense a frustration with just how bad human rights groups tend to be in getting the message out. Yeah. What do you think should happen?
I think we should also approach the people who are doing business, because you have to explain to them that if you want to do the business in the country, you also have to support the human rights, because human rights, it's not something that is for people, for asylum seekers or for someone. Human rights is about the rule of law. If human rights doesn't exist in the country, it means that the rule of law doesn't work there. If the rule of law doesn't work there, it means that you don't have legal protection for your own assets.
Do you know what you could say tomorrow in your home office that would get you arrested?
Well, it can happen.
Anytime?
Anytime, yeah. There were a lot of attempts to stop us. Our office in Chechnya was attacked several times and burned for two times and ruined for two times as well. Last year, it was actually an anniversary on the March of 9th, a press tour that we organized to... We brought several Russian and foreign journalists to Chechnya to show the situation in the region. The bus was attacked and burned down all the bus. All the people were traumatized. Everybody was seriously beaten. The equipment was destroyed. So it can happen. It's a question of your personal security and safe.
This faith in documentation of human rights abuses, whether we're talking about Syria or Chechnya or you know, places in Russia, Africa, the assumption is that if you document that it's going to move people. But what's to say it doesn't just end up in piles of archives that no one pays any attention to? I was at an exhibit at the United Nations with the worst possible pictures of torture in Syria, and you know, people walk by it on their way to work, paying no attention whatsoever.
There are two aims. Either you want to bring attention to the situation and you have to make people believe that it is the truth, so you have to document it to show that you are not lying to the people. And another issue is that you are documenting the crimes now, but they can be used afterwards. There is international trial on former Yugoslavia. It happened more than 20 years after the crimes were committed. But if those documents, if those evidences were not documented that time 20 years ago, nothing would happen now.
Patience, trust.
And work.
Faith in the future and work. Mm-hmm. Finally, people have a sense that everyone is violating human rights.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
just the government. It's the terrorists and the government, and there's no solution. How do you get out of that cycle, that circle?
We need reforms, actually. Actually, the only thing is that the law should be working properly and the law should be adequate. And we have to fight for that. We have to fight for normal laws. We have to fight for normal and adequate law enforcement practice. We have to fight for independent investigations. We have to fight for independent media that provides information on independent investigations to the public. We have a lot of things to fight for.
Olga, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Olga Sadovskaya is deputy chair of the Committee Against Torture, a human rights organization providing legal assistance to victims in Russia. We spoke to Olga as part of our look at dissent in different parts of the world, thanks to the Bernstein Institute for Human Rights at NYU Law School and their annual symposium, Defending Dissent, for connecting us with Olga and others.